Hi, this is Devo Dale coming at you with 50,000 bites of the greatest independent music brought to you by Mixposure.com right here on Mixstream Radio, the greatest OMD in the galaxy.
Welcome back to the Mix Files. Bubba Baba. That's the name of the tune we're listening to. Devo Dale is the artist. Devo Dale is a DJ on Mixstream Radio. Longtime member of Mixposure.com. A famous Looperman loop master, or he says he's not a loop master, so I guess we should call him a loop god. He's not comfortable with that either, I know. This is a fun one, folks. You're listening to us on Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com. This is the Mix Files. I'm Cooter. Each week, a new interview on the Mix Files premieres on Saturday Night Rocks with EBS and Friends. Friends would be Dolce, Daddy Rabbit, Devo Dale on occasion, and me, Cooter, host of the Mix Files. We appreciate you joining us. Hope you enjoy it.
I recall that one. That one's not too old, actually. That was more into the computer phase of my life. So anything written from 2007 forward is going to be used, probably written on the software by Propellerhead called Reason. Mm-hmm. I had version 3 that was handed passed down to me from my friend Vic, and he gave me about a 4-hour over his shoulder tutorial on how to use it. Uh-huh. And I went home, and the first song I wrote was The Silent Getaway. The second song I wrote, because I'd sent it to them going, you guys got to hear this. I know you want to use this in your band. You guys got to hear it. And I didn't get an answer. And I didn't get an answer. And then if 24 hours goes by and I didn't get an answer, and I go, well, they must not have liked that one, so I'll write another one. And so I busted out a song called Number Two.
Just because it was your second shot at doing, that's cool.
That's exactly right. It has nothing to do with bodily functions.
It has
to do with the second song I ever wrote, Using Reason.
Yeah.
And, well, I guess it wasn't their cup of tea because they didn't like either one of them enough to use it in their music, but that was fine. But after that, I believe, came a few other songs. And then Disco Never Died. Okay. I was starting to get into sampling by this point. I realized that with Reason, you can use a lot of samples and playback really simply on Reason.
Right.
And so this is where I started getting interested in the idea of making my own samples. I seem to have had a really good knack to go in and make samples after I've learned what samples were through Looperman and learning what people were looking for, by listening to other people's samples. Mm-hmm. I figured out how to make them. And basically what a sample is, or a loop, is basically a 1, 2, 4, or 8 measure piece of a music that loops on itself.
Uh-huh.
And it has to be able to be like a continuous flow.
Right.
So you don't know when the beginning or when the end normally really is, except for the fact that you count 1, 2, 3, 4.
Gotcha.
But it's the way it's edited to where there's no pops, no cracks, and then it falls directly on the time that it's supposed to.
Uh-huh.
People can take that loop, pull it into their DAW, which is a digital audio workstation,
right,
and be able to play it back at any speed nowadays. Most of these DAWs, you can, if you know the loop originally, sample was in 120 BPM, you set your DAW to 120 BPM, you import that sample, and in the case of Reason now, I have Reason 6, mm-hmm. You can change the speed of it, and it'll automatically change the tempo of the sample, and it'll still stay the same
pitch.
Key.
Yeah.
Right. Still stay the same pitch unless you want it to change.
Yeah.
I believe you had a great conversation with Karen about how pitch changes when you load a sample into the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, we don't want to change that pitch. We want to be able to change the tempo, but not the pitch.
Gotcha.
And with the newer DAWs, this is something that happens automatically these days. And so yeah. It makes the use of samples incredible. This newest song, I was just talking to you about writing this newest song that mm-hmm. hopefully I'll have ready for you by the time this airs.
Uh-huh.
It totally came from somebody else's sample. It was just the other day I went back to Looperman after not being in there for quite a while because Mixposer is my true home.
Yeah.
And I only visit over there occasionally.
Uh-huh.
But I listened to somebody's brand new sample after uploading two more of my own. I just happened to be inspired and uploaded two samples over there of my own.
Uh-huh.
Again, piano loops.
Right.
And I just got inspired by this one little two measure, maybe four measure little thing he did on a synthesizer.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled that into my thing and I totally just ripped it apart and turned it into something totally different. And it's been totally inspiring me for the last couple of days. And it's amazing how that happens because I felt I was in quite of a lull there for a while in my music. And if I just would have, you know, let other people influence with their samples in this case,
yeah.
It really triggered something in me, and I'm so used to wanting to create these things all on my own and be creative that I've kind of lost touch with the fact that when you reach out to something that is totally new and creative against what you know,
yes,
it becomes something that's so much more better. And that's why I really started getting into sampling.
Yeah.
Now, to get back to your question on Disco Never Died,
uh-huh.
All of those sounds in that song, I personally sampled from a Korg EA-1 little beatbox thing. It doesn't have a keyboard on it, but it's a little groove machine.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with those, but I went in and sampled phrases that this machine made that my buddy had programmed some of it, and some of them were preset. Phrases.
Uh-huh.
And I sampled these, each one of them, and made them really nice and clean and cut the loops to where they would perfectly match end to end. That seems to be where my talent is I can zoom in on it and I know I can look at the wave itself,
yes,
waveform on the DAW, and know where to cut it to where it doesn't make any pops or glitches or anything like that. I guess a talent, but it's
that's fascinating.
You just got to do it on the line. I mean, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
You just got to know how to do it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, nothing's that hard once you know how to do it.
Hey, there you go. That's just it. Once you learn how to do it.
Yeah, just learn how to do it.
But, I went in and sampled all those, and then I went in and brought them into Reason as it was called a Rex file. And basically, that's basically a sample that's been chopped up and made to fall on the beats.
Uh-huh.
So no matter what tempo you change it, it's always going to be that same tempo. You can do with any kind of an instrument. It's really easy to do it with drums because it's nice to be able to have a drum set that plays at any tempo.
Yeah.
Or bass lines or keyboard lines or anything like that. And Rex is another platform, much like Reason, that works in Reason. That is, it's from Recycle. This is also another program available through Propellerhead.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like them for some reason. I'm not sure why, but they've definitely given me the tools I need to be able to make these music. And so I cut all those samples up, and I stitched that whole song together. And it did sound like disco to me. And I thought, what better way to commemorate my favorite period? You know, I was more of a disco kid than I was a Led Zeppelin guy. I hate to admit that, but Casey and the Sunshine Band and Donna Summer were more my style. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
So most of the tunes you write then, but not all of them, are inspired by a sound or an effect that you find in a synth somewhere.
Absolutely. And,
okay.
Lately, as of late, that's the way all my songs have been inspired by. I've been, I guess, too happy in life to have emotions deal with things. I mean, I've got a wonderful wife, and I've got beautiful kids that are almost grown and out of the house and almost ready to get out there into the real world and have fun, you know. Most of the kids are out of the house. But can't say I've had anything that in my life that have really made me too sad to write any of those sad, sappy love songs, which is kind of where Tell Me Now came from, and where even Clouds is kind of a sappy song in its own right from that era in my life where, you know, we'd just gotten back together again. And there's the matter of relearning the song, because I'm not the kind of guy that is, you know, that retains all this stuff. I mean, it's a, it comes in and it's kind of gone. I mean, that's the nice thing of kind of, well, pros and cons of programming. You, once you program it, you never have to worry about it. It's always there, right? Yeah, so yeah. It's not something you go back and practice over and over again so you can play live type thing.
Uh-huh.
Whereas when you're in a band and you have to play cover tunes, you have to go in and practice those things. Those are something that you're hammering away for hours at a time to be able to perform live. Whereas when you program something, it's perfect from the time you finish it, and you can go on and do on something else and forget how you even made it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And
sure it
is. So there's pros and cons to that, both there. So
yeah, let me ask you. I think we're headed in that direction maybe right now. But how? What took you from having interest in playing live to having interest in doing the loop thing? Because I know you're one of the well-known people over at Looperman, and I know that a lot of folks have used your loops in their tunes. What brought on that transition, or do you even see it as a transition?
Oh yeah, I do. It had to do with that 8-year hiatus that I took between like 98 and 2007. Once I pretty much, I had my equipment, but it wasn't giving me the satisfaction that I was always inspired by new sounds. And once you get, you know, you kind of confined to the sounds a synthesizer can make.
Right.
I mean, it's only got 128 presets, and or in the case of my Juno 106, or 80 presets in the case of my Insonic ESQ1. And
right.
And then once you just run out of sounds, you kind of run out of the inspiration. And that's where I thought is where I needed to get inspiration was from finding a sound.
Okay.
I mean, that's a good one. China Butterfly was inspired by the sound on that D50. That song never would have came about if that guy down in the two apartments down let me borrow his D50, mm-hmm. and I was messing around on it, and I found a sound, and that's where the progression came from, was with that sound. And so I actually MIDI'd that keyboard into my EPS that I was telling you about, the sampler, and it had a sequencer in it, and so that's how I wrote the song with that. But that all came from that one keyboard. That sound came from that keyboard. Unfortunately, I wasn't skilled enough to actually just sample the sound from the keyboard at that time.
Right.
I was using the sampler more as a playback unit than its actual ability to sample, which I didn't get into till like 10 years down the road, unfortunately. But I had the tools to do it. I just didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
That's when the computer came along, and the computer showed me how to do it. But I still have my EPS. I mean, I could still go back and do it old school way now, but it was just not something I did then. It was I was using it more as a playback unit and as a sequencer.
Gotcha.
But it's really kind of the sound that inspires me, I think, is what it is. Now that we've had this therapeutic session between you and me here, I think it's coming to light now.
Now, I want to ask you also, Melancholy Thoughts by Visual Word featuring Devo Dale piano loops. Was that a song that someone from Looper Man found one of your loops and or some of your loops, or are they all your loops? What happened there? How did that come to be?
Yeah, I've actually had a lot of people from Looper Man contact me who have been inspired by my loops. Quick mention, the Mocha Hurricane, Hear the Wind Blow. Mm-hmm. She was, she got really inspired by just one of my loops and wrote this really killer song. If you guys can get a Mocha Hurricane, Hear the Wind Blow. It's, and then also with Melancholy Thoughts with Visual Words, same with him. He was just listening to some of my piano loops, and before he wrote that song, he actually was inspired to write a whole nother song that had nothing to do with any of my loops. But just by hearing my loops, he was inspired to write that, and he gave me full credit in the beginning of the song and the song credits and everything over at Looper Man. I was very surprised. And it's really quite an interesting feeling when you inspire someone else like that.
Uh-huh.
It's almost better than the feedback you get from writing the entire song. Mm-hmm. And it's a heck of a lot less work. a loop is, you know, I'm maybe 8 or 16 measures long for me. And I can send that on into the world, and it'll come back to me in so many other different works that I never thought of in my own brain. And just the feeling from that is it's better than being on stage. It's better than sex. That's the feeling right there. And I think that's what inspired me to lean more towards being a loop master or loop maker. I can't say I'm really a loop master. I don't know. I've just heard some really great loop masters out there, like Big Pete. You know, Big Pete used to be a DJ here, and
Big Pete lives, rocks.
That guy knows how to stitch together loops.
And what a great guy he is, too. Great person.
I mean, yeah, he really is. I'm really miss him. I wish he'd come back.
Yeah,
I got him to be a DJ here for a little while, and he lasted for a little while. Anyway, but the feeling I get when I hear my loop that somebody else has used in a creation of theirs, that in some form inspired them. And because the piano is a very melodic instrument, it is usually one of the main instruments of whatever loops or what people put together, because it's such a melodic piece. Yeah. It's not like a drum loop or a bass loop where that can be used in just about anything. Yeah, it's very specific because it's a certain sequence of notes.
Yeah.
It's not a certain sequence of beats. It's a certain sequence of notes. And therefore it has a more of a limited capability of that creativity. Well, I hope I'm explaining that right. It actually creates an unlimited ability to have someone who listens to it that's not me. And because of that interaction I'm having with these people around the world I've never met, who send me their creations that they've used, I mean, that they were inspired by my loops, or that they even just used my loop that was inspired by someone else's loop or not. It's just I can't explain it. It's just a great feeling. It's better than writing a whole song on your own and just getting the feedback from just that. It's better than that, because you've tapped into somebody else's creation. It's not just your creation.
Yes.
And when you add those two things together, it multiplies that satisfaction tenfold at least. And it just, I don't know. I feel more, I'd rather write loops than write songs. Basically, that I went through a whole period of the last 5 years of doing that. It's just now recently where I'm starting to feel I kind of need to write some tunes too, because there's obviously some creativity that wants to be hammered out of me because it's drawing me towards writing songs again.
Yeah.
But that's why I started doing loops, because it really is a very satisfactory feeling when a little snippet of something you did inspires somebody into creating this entire beautiful song, much like Visual Word and Melancholy Thoughts. It's just, he stitched all those together. Those are all my loops, I believe. Every single one of them were my loops. And the way he stitched them together, I had no intention for them to all be used together like that. And the way he did it, it put such progression and flow into a song. I could never write a song like that. I can barely write two or three progressions into a song, let alone five, six, or seven that he used all my loops into.
Oh, there is one other thing I want to ask you about. How do you view the chat room on Mixposure.com? I know you are there when you're able to. There's a whole bunch of people that are there when they're able to be there. And you never know, you go in there one night and there may be a couple dozen people, and you go in there the next time that you're able to make it and there may be however many there are, and it may be only one or two of the same people that were there the last time you were there. It's a kind of
rotating. I just wish we could get the word out more about it. I would like to increase our audience on Mixstream Radio, and as well as the chat room would, of course, increase as well at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some way that we can advertise above and beyond. I'm just going to ask all the listeners and all the musicians out there right now to please take a little time to let everybody know about Mixposure. Introduce them to it. Invite them over. Tell them it's free. Tell them it's a great place to hang out, that there's a lot of great people here. If they have any questions or they want to collab with anybody or they don't even think they're good enough, this is the place to come. This is the place where you can come to learn from true people who are musicians just like you that need to be, that like to be involved in other people's lives and creations. And the conglomerate of people that hang out here who are DJs and that put on all of these great shows, and to the people who come to them. I mean, they're here to learn something. They're here to be entertained. And that's exactly what we provide here at Mixposure.com. So please, everybody, just one of you, go out there and talk to at least one person about Mixposure and try to bring them in. I mean, this is a really great place. And if you know some great people, you should invite them in. That's all I got to say.
I think you said that quite eloquently, and after that, I got nothing.
All right, Peter.
Dale, I tell you what, man, it has happened to me every single time I've done one of these interviews, and it's been almost 2 hours, and it just does not seem like, I don't know what happened to the 2 hours. I can tell you I had fun. I had a whole lot of fun during these 2 hours, but it just does not seem, it seems like 10 or 15 minutes to me. I mean, it just went by. It was gone. Go ahead.
I understand. I mean, you're getting an insight on all these people's lives and reflecting on your own as well. So it's really easy to, to make it go off on and on like that.
It's easy to get lost in it.
Sure.
Well, Dale, I love you like a brother. I have had a great time talking with you. I appreciate you consenting to do an interview for the Mix Files and Mixstream Radio and Mixposure.com. And thank you so much.
Cooter, thank you very much. I really enjoyed this, and I appreciate it, buddy.
I have too, man, and I appreciate you, Dale. Talk to you
later. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Cooter. See ya.
You have been listening to The Mix Files. This has been our interview with Bebo Dale. We hope you enjoyed it. Dale and I had a good time doing it. You are listening to us on Mixstream Radio from Exposure.com, and we appreciate that you are. I'm Cooter. Hope to see you next week on The Mix Files. We appreciate you listening. The Mix Files, 007.